The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, let's get you a little football finest here. Welcome into the G-Bag Nation, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Eric Chiafalo alongside the Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus. We got Will Chambers in the building and Chris Strong in for Lucius producing the program. Dawson and Wolchuk will be back at some point next week. I mean, the holidays, you know how it goes, man. And Wolchuk got that paternity leave. See, I got to capitalize on that last year. Mm-hmm. Dial up 2 weeks off at the end of the year, just go cruise control style.
There you go.
That's what Wolchuk did.
Celebrate Chanukah.
Tip of the cap to him. Yeah, Chanukah.
Chanukah, right. That's right. Sorry.
Thank you, Smokey
Robinson. Smokey nailed it.
Yeah, he really did. All right, NFL news of the day, of course, is that CeeDee Lamb has been ruled out for the rest of the season with the Cowboys dealing with the shoulder issue. It's gotten progressively worse, and they want to be a little bit more cautious with it, start that rehab a little bit early here. So no more CeeDee Lamb the rest of the way for the Cowboys. He's had an outstanding season, and we salute him in his recovery. Hopefully he's back.
Boy, it could have been better
this than
season,
ever.
Too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there's
no surgery required, by the way, which is good.
Yeah, do something the right way, because they did not handle it the right way, you know, with his contract. Because remember, we were told over and over by Jerry on how, him not being in these preseason games doesn't mean anything. It meant nothing. Remember, how many times did he say that? And it totally meant something.
Oh, yeah. The first 6 weeks of the season was a disaster.
Yeah. I mean, he and Dak did not look like they were on the same page at all. So, I mean, we were fed a bunch of garbage there.
Yeah, we totally were. We thought everything was going to be fine, and the entire offense, everything was just awful.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see him get it turned around, especially doing it with a backup
quarterback. Such a good player. Yeah. He's a tough player. He's gotten bigger, too. You know, I mean, he's, you know, in order to kind of endure the hits and everything that he does, because he's really the focal point of the offense.
Yeah, and now we see who's able to reap the benefits of this. Can we see a little bit more? I mean, can we see anything from Jonathan Mingo? My goodness. Of course, you got Tolbert.
We have more footage of the Loch Ness Monster than we do of Mingo playing football.
Just blocking. That's all he has done to this point. So maybe he gets a little bit more of an opportunity. We do know that Jalen Hurts has been listed as DNP for practice for the second straight day with the Eagles dealing with that concussion. Kenny Pickett's been banged up, as Broaddus mentioned earlier, with the rib. But I just saw from Adam Schefter, Kenny Pickett was a full participant today.
Okay, so then he'll likely start.
Yeah, so he'll be in line to start if Jalen Hurts is unable to go on Sunday. So it might be Cooper Rush versus Kenny Pickett. Rush without, of course, CeeDee Lamb. It'll be the Saquon Barkley show for the Eagles, very likely, as they try and get him the single-season rushing record. He's like 250 yards or so away
from it.
They're
going to try and get him close.
Try and get him as close as possible. And then Giants, that would be pretty fitting.
Yeah, to get it against the Giants, it'd be great.
It really would be. Speaking of Eagles, former Eagle DeSean Jackson and Delaware State are finalizing an agreement for him to take the head coaching job.
I never pictured DeSean Jackson as coach material, and maybe it's just because I've never gotten out of my head the dropping of the football before crossing the goal line.
As a head coach, I mean, it's Delaware State, so I guess it doesn't really matter. but it is pretty amazing that
we've had some coaches, though. I mean, some of these former, if you look at, you know, with some of these guys have stepped in. I mean, you go back to where, you know, former players like with the Deion Sanders.
Deion came in like immediately won at Jackson State.
Yeah, but he had been at least a high school coach. I mean, we can joke about it, but he had been a coach. Eddie George having any coaching experience?
Well, the Tennessee. Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm not thinking of Eddie George.
Derek Mason.
No, who's coaching at Tennessee State? I should look this up. I thought it was Eddie George.
It might be Eddie George, actually. I think you're right.
You got it?
Yeah, it's Eddie George.
Okay, you guys. Thank God. You guys looked at me like, what the hell?
No, I'm sorry, I was trying to Tennessee State's head coaching.
But I'm just saying, some of these guys.
It sounded familiar.
Some of these guys are getting opportunities. Michael Vick's about to get an opportunity. Yeah. You know? So you just wonder if like the Deion Sanders way of going to like, okay, we're going to have to try and raise money.
It makes more sense to me than the guys that just go like first coach or first coaching
Jason
opportunity.
Witten, head coach of the Cowboys?
Well, no, like, well, not Mayo. What's his, the guy with the Raiders?
Antonio Pierce.
Yeah. Pierce hadn't coached at all, right?
No, he's at Arizona State with Herm Edwards.
It's worked for Deion. I think Deion's a great coach. I don't know any of these guys personally, and it's probably incredibly unfair to, you know, judge DeSean Jackson on something he did. Like, he might have been a rookie when he did that.
Yeah, I just think that maybe you're in this day and age where these guys are coming in and they're going to have to generate money for their programs, you know, and maybe you're hiring a dynamic type of a guy to come in, get boosters excited. Maybe you identify, I mean, hell, they got Deion Sanders, got the Heisman Trophy winner to go to school at Jackson State to start his career.
Yeah.
You know, maybe these coaches, these former players that you bring in have that
kind of
ability.
It's the name of the game. You have to have it. I mean, it's money's always the name of the game, but now with the collectives and all that, you have, I mean, hell, even at schools that you wouldn't imagine, you'll hear a lot of complaining like, well, you know, we don't have as much as everybody thinks that Alabama and Georgia just has the most, and they very well may. But sometimes it's not a lot. Like, people would assume LSU just rolling in cash. That's really not the case. Yeah. You know, it depends if you've got those, you know, billionaire boosters, or you can get this whole thing together, because now they're looking at it. They're treating it as a business, right? These kids are payroll and they run other businesses.
Right.
So that was like kind of the thing that was talked about with this Slukar. I should look up his name.
Well,
so
there's some talk that maybe this is why Nick Saban got out of the game, because he saw, even though Alabama generates $100 million a year just in the football program, that maybe this was going to be, maybe he didn't want to play that game. Maybe he didn't want to have to. Maybe he didn't want to have to play the game of having to recruit some of his players.
Yeah. Well, you know, he said the players that were coming in, they were asked, the first thing that they were talking about once the season ended was their NIL money.
Well, that's the thing, that there were some of these players that were not going to visit schools unless they got X amount of money. It's like, I was not going to visit your school unless you went ahead and paid me $10,000 to come visit. And there's no guarantee that I'm even going to go to your school, but it's going to cost you 10 grand for a visit. So maybe he just didn't. I think a lot of these coaches don't want to deal with that, but that's where we're at right now.
DeSean Jackson is signing up for just that. Just the idea that he's being a head coach right now is maybe the last thing I would have imagined that we'd be talking about today on the program. Just shocking.
Nothing surprises me anymore.
Okay, last night we had the NFL on Christmas, and they had, did you see the way they were doing it? They were trying to make it like the Thanksgiving turkey leg for the great players.
Yeah, and the cake.
Yeah, with the football cake. This is Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson refusing to consume the red velvet football cake after the game last night.
Red velvet.
Does that mean you want to try it?
Nah.
Come on.
on. Someone's got to take a bite, Derek. I won't tell anybody, even though you want to have a chicken breast.
Hey, watch out. You better watch out, man. Go ahead, L.
I'm good.
One bite. No one's going to take a single bite. Do I have
to? You do it.
I have to?
Yes, please. How was it?
It's delicious.
I'm good.
Come on.
Take one piece, bro.
One piece, bro.
I need to eat real food.
Come on.
And dessert.
Okay.
This is delicious.
See, Derrick Henry knows that he can't just have a blood sugar spike like that. He invests way too much money into his body.
Yeah, that's not how
to
he...
just put red velvet cake in there before you put something else with a little bit more health, and then you come over the top. That's how you offset the blood sugar spike. I thought Lamar Jackson might attack that, though, but he didn't.
Do you think they have a problem with red velvet cake?
No, not at all. Nobody has a problem with red velvet cake.
Well, they obviously did. They did not want to even take a bite.
I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was about.
I think it just looked weird, like the shell of it. You know what it reminded me of? And I can't figure out if it was from a movie, but like a... I feel like I've seen a movie where they had a cake and it was made like an aardvark. Like some weird character... And it was an aardvark, because that's what it looked like, the white, like the shell, and then you open it up and it's like red velvet.
It looked delightful.
Everybody else in my family and all my friends yesterday thought it looked at me like I was nuts anyway, too. So they
we just did that, too.
Yeah, I know.
We just did that too.
Somebody out there is going to know what I'm talking about, and they're going to text it in.
Is that steel magnolias to armadillo? No?
Chris that might have been.
Chris Strong just hit the nail on the head.
That's my answer.
That
We're going to go with it.
Okay.
Well, the ball does look like an armadillo shell, but you said aardvark. So I was
or armadillo. Yeah.
Okay.
Either way.
Tomato, tomato,
For
right?
For a minute, I thought maybe necessary roughness too, but I'd have to go back and watch it. I bet it is steel magnolias.
This was a lose-lose for the players, though, because on one hand, you have the Ravens players, Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, refusing to eat it. And one.
How about the robes they were wearing? Those were pretty cool, weren't they?
I like those a lot. The all red, like Santa jacket looking deal. Yeah.
I didn't catch it. Right away, or like from the very beginning of like Netflix's, like, you know, the first game, were there issues? Because I didn't witness any. There were no issues on our end from what I was watching.
No, there was no connection issues, really. Everything was pretty good and clear. There was no buffering, so that was all good. They had a couple of mistakes. The first 20 seconds of the broadcast, Kay Adams is opening up. She's doing her monologue, setting the stage for Netflix and Christmas, and her mic was just muted for like the first 20 seconds.
Oh, that's
so
good.
That was something that people were.
Is that more or less awkward than having Manti Te'o on the team on the broadcast?
You were, you thought that was.
It feels awkward to me.
He's doing NFL Network stuff.
He's doing a Good Morning Football. Oh, yeah, he's Good Morning Football. Like he does 2 days, and then our wide receiver from the Cowboys.
Isaiah Stanback
this 2 days. Yeah.
Yeah. I hadn't seen him on anything. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. When I was looking at him, it was like, it feels awkward. The jacket and the turtleneck and the
I thought he was wearing the hell out of that thing. He was looking
rocking
good. One commenter with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson refusing the football cake, they said, imagine being the baker who made those cakes, all excited that these stars would eat it, and they look at it in disgust. So that's one side of the spectrum. And then on the other side, you had Travis Kelce after the Chiefs win. He started tearing that cake up.
Yeah.
And one Chiefs fan said the Chiefs postgame interview on Netflix is awful. Of course, that fat ass Kelce had no problem tonguing down a football cake. So it was just like, it was a lose-lose situation there for these guys. You turn it down, somebody's upset, you crush it, somebody's fat shaming you. That was the bed that the NFL had to sleep in yesterday. Now, I do want to play the first ever with Will Chambers, a surprise installment. Week 17 edition. Guess that spread. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We start with Brian Broaddus to kick off the proceedings. The Chargers travel to Foxborough. Noon kick to take on Drake May and Gerard Mayo fighting for his job. Chargers on the road in New England. Brian Broaddus, guess that spread.
Give me Chargers -6.5.
Okay, Will Chambers.
I'm going to say we got J.K. Dobbins back.
Potentially. He returned to practice. The window is open, but I don't know if he's going to play. Might
Chargers
be the Gus Bus.
-2.5.
Chargers by 4.5. Swing and a miss for both of yous.
Wow.
We head to Cincinnati where the Broncos and Bo Nix come to town. Playoff implications. This is Saturday football, by the way. Will Chambers, Broncos at Cincy. Guess that spread.
Cincinnati minus 1.5.
Ooh, Cincinnati's the favorite. Okay. How
Cincinnati
about you?
Minus 2.5.
Cincinnati by 3.5. You both swing and miss once again. You only get points if you're within a half a point.
Wait, we were like, you were giving Dawson points for just like saying the team's names right the other
pandering.
Day.
I could tell he was in a bad mood. You know, I wanted to lift his spirits.
Like, you were closest, Dawson. Oh, once again, Dawson. I think I have something out for Gavin. No, I really don't.
Cardinals, Saturday night in Inglewood. Cardinals head to the Rams, SoFi Stadium.
Divisional Rams.
Game. Broadest guess that spread.
Rams minus 3.
Will Chambers?
Rams minus 11.
Wow, that would be a fat spread on that one. This is going to be Rams by 6.5. Rams by 6.5.
Division game.
Oh, I'm going to take
that. Oh, that was close, Will. Good job. Dawson, you get the points for that.
Arizona.
Dawson's not even here. Get the points for it.
All right.
Arizona's a mess.
Now we have a line shift with the Eagles with likely no Jalen Hurts.
You've told me this, so I
Will Chambers, guess that spread. Cowboys at Eagles.
Eagles... 2.5.
No, it's 7.5, I believe.
Eagles by 7 is what it currently stands at. All right, Brian Broaddus, Dolphins.
With Kenny Pickett as quarterback?
With Kenny Pickett at quarterback, they still have the Eagles at home favored by a touchdown. Dolphins go to the frigid temperatures of Cleveland, Ohio. Dolphins at Browns. Broaddus, guess that spread.
Dolphins. You're going to love this one. Dolphins minus 2.5.
Will Chambers?
I'll go minus 2. That's what I was going to say, 2.5.
Dolphins by 6.5.
Yeah.
No love for.
You're gonna sit there and tell me like, oh, they played terrible in cold weather.
Well, they do. They do.
It's DTR, isn't it? Is Jameis out?
I think it's DTR, but I don't know because DTR also got benched. So we'll see.
They wear vacation uniforms.
Lucius said that. I just agreed with it. He was 100% correct when he said it. All right. Let's see. We have the Bills hosting the Jets. It's in Buffalo. All Will Chambers, guess that spread.
Bills minus 8.5.
Broaddus?
Bills minus 10.
Ooh. Y'all are close. Bills by 9.5. Nice work. All right. The most disgusting game of all time is Raiders and Saints. We're not even going to mention it here.
Why not?
Not even going to bring it up.
Why not?
It's just a terrible, terrible matchup.
That's awful.
That's Vegas at Saints?
Yeah.
Give me Saints... minus 4.5.
Will Chambers?
I'll go complete opposite direction. Vegas minus 4.5.
Vegas by 1. Road dog. Road favorite, excuse me. All right, now let's see. Let's go with Packers and Vikings. Vikings at home. Big time playoff implications here. Brian Broaddus, guess that spread.
Minnesota minus 2.
Dang.
Will?
Minnesota minus 1.5.
Ding, ding, ding. Will Chambers is on the board. Minnesota by 1. And we'll close it down here. Sunday night football. Commanders at home welcoming Penix and the Falcons. Falcons travel to Landover, Maryland, Northwest Stadium.
You love Northwest Stadium, don't you?
Will Chambers, guess that spread.
Washington, 5.5. 5.5.
Washington minus 3.
Washington minus 4.5. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Whoa. Nice work. Thank you, Will Chambers.
I didn't get one of them today.
We appreciate you, Will Chambers, for hanging out.
Love you, boys. Merry Christmas. Yes. Merry Christmas to everybody out there, and happy Chinooka as well.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good to see you guys.
There he goes, Will Chambers, ladies and gentlemen. Let's have a basketball conversation with one of our favorite Mavericks friends, Bobby Corella of All City Dallas, joins us next, and then we go commercial-free. We hit the expressway. Ask Broaddus anything coming up at 5:40. That's next right here on The Fan. All right, yes, sir. Let's go commercial-free to the top of the hour. Bobby Corella, All City Dallas, set to join us here in just a second. Talk a little Mavs. And the Luka injuries, and where does this team go from here? Ask Broaddus anything coming up here in about 15 minutes. Text in 877-881-1053. Draft questions, football questions, or really any questions you might have for Broaddus. We will get those answered coming up here in just a few minutes, commercial free to 6 o'clock. And now we go to the D&M Leasing Hotline and welcome in Bobby Corella, All City Dallas. And wish him a Merry Christmas and a little Mavs conversation. Bobby, thanks so much for the time, man. How the heck are you?
I'm pretty good, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Yesterday's Christmas was great outside of the Luka injuries and being down 28. Shout out to Kyrie Irving and company for making it a fun game there at the end. But the Luka stuff is certainly a bummer. What do you think the timeline is? Just what do you know on all things Luka right now?
I mean, the closest estimation that I could give is what he experienced in 2022. It's the last game of the regular season, and he suffered a calf strain. Now, I don't know. The Mavs haven't put out any word as far as, like, whether it's a grade one or grade two or whatever, but Luka missed after that. There was a 4 or 5 day, you know, break between that game and the start of that first round series against Utah, and Luka missed the first 3 games of that series, came back for game 4, and at the time we were like, wow, that's pretty quick. Back then, you know, that's 10 days, 12 days, something like that in a playoff scenario. So, you know, I don't think they're going to be necessarily eager to rush him back this time because obviously, you know, he's been banged up so much this year and going back to last season's playoff run that I don't think they want to bring him back until they know that he's not at risk of hurting something else. I mean, he just keeps on picking up injuries on his left leg, and that is just not sustainable if the whole point of this season, which they have said now, they've said out loud, the whole point of this season is to win the title or at least go on a very, very long playoff run. And you're not going to do that unless you have a healthy Luka. And so, you know, if it takes weeks, then it's going to be weeks. If it takes too much longer than that, then there might not be a playoff run at all unless Kyrie can keep doing what he's been doing so far this season. So, you know, it's going to be a tricky tightrope to walk, but they've got to get it right.
So you're thinking that, and this is just your opinion, Bobby. I mean, this is nobody from the Mavs, Sammy, this about keeping him out for a month or so or more. Is that something, I mean, you're talking about that, but is that something you realistically think they will do?
Maybe, you know, I mean, they need to stay afloat in the Western Conference, and that's easier said than done because they're, I don't know if you've taken a look ahead at what's coming in January.
No, absolutely.
But,
I read that for Eric just this afternoon of the games that are ahead for you. So
it is going to be a beast. And so, I mean, even going 500 during that stretch with a healthy but kind of banged up Luka would have been pretty tough. But without him, that's going to be really hard. And so, you know, it all depends on the severity of the calf strain. You know, I don't want to speculate on that necessarily, but Jeff Stotts in street clothes on Twitter, he tracks every NBA injury, has a big database. And he said that a calf strain, even if it's like a moderate kind of mild calf strain, could be 2 or 3 weeks.
Sure.
And we don't know how long Luka's is. And so, I mean, if the plan is for it to be 2 or 3 weeks, but you wake up a week and a half, 2 weeks from now, and you've lost 5 out of your last 7 games, then you might be feeling a little pressure to bring him back sooner because your season could be kind of sitting on the edge of the knife at that point, depending on what everyone else is experiencing in the West. I mean, there's a lot of banged up teams right now. This season has been brutal, but you know, you got to make the top six. You gotta find your way in the playoffs, and it's gonna be a lot tougher for them to you know, tread water without Luka. But to their, you know, to their credit, they have won a lot of games without Luka this season. They've only lost twice, not counting yesterday because he played part of the game, obviously, but they've only lost 2 out of 8 games that Luka's missed. And one of those losses, Kyrie also missed that game. So they've built a really, really deep team that has a lot of talent, a lot of scoring, a lot of shooting and all that stuff. And, you know, that depth is going to be put to the test for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, thank God for Kyrie's presence. He was really otherworldly there in the second half of that game in that fourth quarter. So having him will be huge. Seems like he's having one of the better seasons of his career, Bobby. Where have you seen the improvements from Kyrie this year?
He's been amazing. I mean, whether it's playing off Luka or playing without Luka, he's been really, really good. You know, the Mavs have a lot of spacing. Obviously, they have the bigs that are getting a lot of offensive rebounds and, you know, protecting the rim and doing a lot of the things that a guy like Kyrie, you know, he's 6'1". Kyrie is not going to be able to necessarily assert himself on the defensive end, so you need to surround him with guys that can. Well, the Mavs have done that. You know, Kyrie is not necessarily the level of playmaker that some of the other top point guards in the league are. I think guys like Luka or Trae Young, you know, that can rack up 10, 12 assists. Kyrie is more of a scorer. Well, they have Luka. They have Najee Marshall even. You know, they're trying to get P.J. Washington to handle the ball. You know, Dallas is trying to build a team that complements Kyrie's strengths and sort of, you know, plugs up in any sort of holes in his game. And that's with or without Luka again. I mean, this team is built to succeed with one of them, with both of them, and sometimes, you know, depending on the caliber of competition, without either of them. But you know, in this run without Luka, my concern is that Kyrie is going to have to exert himself so much. He's going to have to do the things that we saw him do yesterday so much that at his age and at Klay Thompson's age too, by the time you roll around to April and May, I mean, I don't know how much they're going to have left in the tank. And so it's one of those things. I mean, Kyrie is going to have to be that caliber of player for the Mavs to win a bunch of games. But if he's that caliber of player for too long without any or much time off, then, you know, Luka's going to need to wear the Superman cape whenever he comes back. So it's very tricky. But Kyrie has just been spectacular this season. He's been absolutely amazing.
Yeah, Bobby, there's no way to get around it, though. I mean, you mentioned the schedule and stuff like that ahead. You would think that maybe if they played more games like with Portland and maybe Washington, people like that on the schedule, that they could just go ahead and sit Kyrie and try and win with depth. But they just can't afford to do that right now, can they?
No, because, you know, that would mean no Kyrie and no Luka, and Derek Lively's listed as questionable for tomorrow, and, you know, Jaden Hardy is just now coming back from a sprained ankle, and he's been out. Najee Marshall just missed a few weeks with an illness, and he hasn't looked totally right since he's come back either. So, you know, they just don't have the benefit of being able to sit Kyrie, you know, without Luka. It's if you do that, you are almost guaranteeing that you're going to lose unless somebody else steps up big time. And that wouldn't be too big of an issue if you were facing a stretch of schedule that didn't have a lot of back-to-backs. But the Mavs have quite a few coming up over the next 2 or 3 weeks, and they're tough ones. I mean, they have a Memphis Lakers back-to-back. Yeah. You know, tomorrow they play in Phoenix, and then they get on a two-hour plane ride and play Portland. And, okay, Portland's maybe not the best team in the NBA, but second night of a back-to-back after 2 hours of travel, your third game in four nights in three different cities, three different time zones, like, that's really, really tough. So it's going to be a bit of a grind over the next couple of weeks, but I mean, Kyrie he's demonstrated that he's up for the challenge. You just have to hope that his body cooperates and holds up in the meantime too.
It's Bobby Carilla, All City Dallas, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. It seemed like yesterday was a big blinking light for missing Derrick Jones Jr. and the point of attack defense, the perimeter defense. I mean, the blow-bys were consistent, especially after the T-Wolves started so hot from the three-point line. Najee Marshall dealing with what he's dealing with right now, still recovering from being apparently extremely sick, but were they expecting him to be more of that point of attack defender, or where can they go from here to try and bolster that?
I think the idea is that Najee and Quentin Grimes can do some of that, but they come off the bench. You know, now one of them, or I don't know if the lineup will completely change, but without Luka, probably one of them will be starting and playing more. So you'll at least have a little bit of a different look out there. But with their normal starting lineup, you know, Luka, Kyrie, Klay, PJ Washington, and then one of the bigs, really none of those guys is a point of attack defender at this point. You know, Klay was earlier in his career, but he's not really anymore. PJ Washington can stay in front of some wings, you know, and he's got the strength to bang with bigs, but he can't really, he was struggling with Ant yesterday, you know, and Ant is really good, obviously. So that's no knock on PJ, but, you know, Ant is more of a wing, let alone like these cat-like quick guards that have given the Mavs a lot of problems this year too. So, you know, it's going to be tricky. I think all along, you know, I've thought that they need to add a little more size, a little more length, especially to help on the defensive end. You know, and this Luka injury could only exacerbate that need, or the fact that they're going to replace him with more of a defensive minded player that might make their offensive, you know, might make them seem like they need to upgrade on the offensive end of the floor. So, you know, we'll see what kind of weaknesses arise in the meantime. But, yeah, right now on the roster, Derrick Jones Jr., you're sorely missed, bud. He was so good last year. But that just really goes to emphasize, I mean, you have to be able to do something at the point of attack. You have to make it tough on them. And the NBA guys are so skilled. They're so fast. You know, the rules make it very, very difficult to be too physical on defense. So you have to be able to move your feet and stay in front of these guys. And if anybody, not just your main defender, if anybody gets beat on the perimeter, somebody has to sag off their man to help. And then you're in the blender. And then it's just drive and kick, drive and kick, drive and kick. And it's going to lead to either an open three or a dunk every single time down the floor. And to the Wolves' credit, you know, they've been a really lousy offense for the last month or so.
They have, yeah.
Yeah, but yesterday they started 14 of 25 from three. And so the Mavs had to overreact to that, started closing out a little more aggressively, and then they started getting beat backdoor with drives and cuts and passes and lobs to Gobert and things like that. And then, you know, the whole house of cards fell apart. So you know, they've got to shore that up for sure, because they're starting to play a lot of really good teams here pretty soon.
Hey, Bobby, I know it's been a short time and short sample size for you. I mean, the guy's a legendary player, but with Klay Thompson breaking Reggie Miller's record or getting past Reggie Miller, just your thoughts on how what that is to you, and then also, though, how he's played here as the season's gone along.
And he's been an unbelievable player to watch for so long. I mean, this guy scored, what, 60 points on 11 dribbles or something in a game? Like, it's just, you know, he's done stuff that's almost too insane to believe if it wasn't on tape. But, you know, in Dallas so far, it really felt like up until a couple weeks ago, fans and media and really everyone was kind of like, okay, I mean, we're kind of still waiting for Klay Thompson to show up.
Sure.
There's a guy out there that's averaging, you know, 11, 12 points a game and shooting in the mid-30s from three, but he's just kind of out there. But over the last few weeks, you know, he's woken up, and that is in line with his career numbers. You know, Reggie Bullock was a guy that played here for a couple years, and he was another guy that was notorious for getting off to really slow starts. He'd be shooting like 25% on Thanksgiving. You're like, what the heck is going on with this guy?
Right.
And then come January 1st, he's already 40%. And Klay, I think going into last night's game, was about 38, 39% from three. So he's right there. You know, he's starting to heat up. And without Luka, that's really important because, mm-hmm. you know, whenever Luka was out for this most recent stretch, they started running Klay off more screens, you know, started getting him on the move, giving him the ball at the top of the key, saying, go make a play, you know, really involving him more on a possession-to-possession basis. And that's going to be super important because it's not just that you need someone to pick up the scoring, you know, without Luka. You also need someone to pose the defense a problem. And whenever Klay Thompson's running off a screen, guys start freaking out. You know, they start overreacting to that, saying, hey, I got to step out. And then all of a sudden, their guy can cut back door. Or, hey, what if I need to stay home on my man because P.J. Washington is shooting well too? Well, then Klay's open for three. So it's a different kind of pick your poison away from the ball. And then it's up to Kyrie and the playmakers to make that decision. Do I want to get him the ball? Do I want to get him a touch? Or do I want to attack this off-balance defense myself? So it's really, really valuable for the Mavs that they have that element to add. It just, you know, might have taken a little longer than expected to realize it and kind of see it come to fruition.
Bobby Corella, All-City Dallas, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. All right, what about Derek Lively? Have you seen the improvements from him this year that you were hoping to see? How would you evaluate his season?
It's kind of been like up and down. You know, at the early part of the year, he was struggling with foul trouble. You know, it felt like really league-wide, they let guys get away with a little more down the stretch last year. And, you know, Lively was getting called for some stuff this season that he might not have down the stretch. And a lot of guys took some time to adjust, but it felt like it took Lively a little longer to adjust to that. And then now all of a sudden, it seems like he's caught up to it. You know, he's not really dealing with foul trouble hardly at all anymore. He's had some great moments at both ends of the floor, you know, offensive rebounds, effort, obviously throwing down lob dunks and things like that, but then also coming up with some big blocks and crunch time. And, you know, he was really good on switches yesterday, but it's kind of been almost a little shaky. You know, there was that game against the Clippers last week. He really struggled against Ivica Zubac, despite playing pretty well, I thought, against Nikola Jokic, who's bigger and better than Zubac. So, you know, the consistency piece, I guess, isn't really there, but you know, he's still young, he's still growing, and I think it's only a matter of time before he's going to be considered probably one of the 5 or 10 best defensive bigs in the league and one of the most game-breaking defensive players in the league. I mean, his ability to switch, protect the rim, run the floor, rebound, do all of the little things, like, it is just super valuable to have that on this team. And again, you know, with the Mavs probably rolling out a more defensive-oriented lineup over the next couple weeks, I think you're only going to see that even louder watching games. You know, they might be a really, really good defense over the next couple weeks if they can fix some of the issues that have been bothering them over the last, you know, few games.
Well, Bobby, we appreciate the time, man. You're a super beast. Thanks so much. Loving your work right now with All-City Dallas. You're the man, and I hope you have a happy holiday and a happy new year.
Hey, thank you, guys. You too.
Yes, sir. There he goes. Bobby Corella, a wealth of Mavs knowledge always for us here in the G-Bag Nation. Kind enough to join us after working. You know, he had to do a lot of heavy lifting yesterday,
yeah,
watching those Mavericks, and that was a struggle bus watch for three quarters, and things got turned around. Hopefully this Luka stuff, that's a pretty bleak picture, the way he, you know, is painting the way this thing could go with Luka. If this thing is going to bleed into February and the schedule in January being as tough as it is, Going to need some guys to step up in a huge way.
Absolutely.
All right, now it's time for the Tolos to step up and for the crustiest king of them all, Mr. Brian Broaddus, to step up. We are going to hit you with a little ABA, Ask Broaddus Anything, here in the G-Bag Nation. And I mean anything. Okay, you can just get as freaky deaky as you want here with some of your questions.
All right,
and we will get them answered.
Why are you,
what
are you doing that? Why are you, you're encouraging like
just any questions,
uncomfortable,
just anything. It's called an ABA. Ask Broaddus anything. I don't want them to feel like they have to be pigeonholed into just draft questions.
No, no, no. Those are gonna be I just you know, but you're like you have the ability to read the questions.
Yeah, I'll be reading them.
Yeah, so if I choose not to answer the questions, what does that do to our segment?
You'll just bow out.
Just like
you can plead the fifth.
Wait,
I didn't know in the bylaws of Ask Broaddus Anything, I didn't know there was a plead the fifth option.
But I've never done this with you, and I know how you operate.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you will pick like the most uncomfortable questions because I know the Tolos out there will ask some uncomfortable questions.
They'll do that.
And then
you'll say,
huh, that's a draft question. He'll like actually know something about that. Let's ask him what kind of, does he use, I don't know. I was going to say something really rude there, but I didn't want to say
it. Well, we found out that you are a standing wiper in the bathroom.
You
revealed that last week.
I did.
And you said you've always been that, right?
Always been that, yes.
All right, we have a couple. We're starting off with some food questions here. We're going to keep it light.
Okay.
903.
I'm going to ask you the exact same question you asked me. Get ready. Ask Eric as well.
We'll see if I have a great answer to some of these.
Yeah.
The first of which is how many batches of crawfish did it take for you to perfect it? How many years of crawfishing?
There you go. You know what? That's a really good question because I felt like that when I first started, I knew that I had to do something different with the spice. And I wanted to find a way. I've eaten crawfish before down in Louisiana where, it makes your nose run and you get the sensation of the crawfish and all that. And I just didn't feel like I was getting that the first couple of batches. And then I kind of started doing these like going on YouTube. I just love to go on YouTube and watch guys and gals cook crawfish.
Yeah.
But they were coming up with ways of like making like the instead of the vegetables, like all your spice stuff, making it a liquid instead of a solid. So everything you're trying to do is get the flavoring into the crawfish tail. Well, you don't do that with the solid, you do it with the liquid because that's
how it really soaks in there.
It penetrates that and it makes the crawfish taste better. So it took me a good 2 years to kind of figure some things out that way, is what it did. So
A couple years. You got to put that work in.
It absolutely did. It absolutely did.
Okay, let's see here. We have, hey, B, in the 501.
Yeah.
My wife and I are buying a minivan. Should we get the Toyota Sienna or the Honda Odyssey? Two great options, man.
Have you ever had a minivan?
Yes, I have one right now. I have a Toyota Sienna. I think it's the 2017 version. Bought it used whenever I was selling cars. Got a nice little deal ski on it. But yeah, I mean, it's fantastic.
I had a Honda for a long time in my life, way back in the day.
Sedan?
No, just like a coupe.
A little two-door Civic kind of deal?
Yeah, a little coupe. Yeah.
I had one of those as well.
And I'll tell you what, though, that thing never missed a day. And I drove it until I got my truck in Green Bay, until I got my Explorer in Green Bay. And it was great in the snow. I know here we're probably not dealing with snow and ice and all that stuff.
Well, they're in the 501. Let me see that area code.
501.
Here.
Yeah, that's right. But I'm just telling you, I know you talk about your product. I thought the Honda was super reliable. And I thought when you had to do maintenance on it, I thought it was very reasonable.
501 is Central Arkansas.
Okay.
Little Rock and most of its suburbs.
Okay.
So
we're dealing with some cold up there.
Yeah, you'll get a little bit of that, a little bit more terrain perhaps. But yeah. I think they're both great options. I have the Sienna and I love it, but I've also grew up in a Honda family.
Yeah.
So I think those are going to be bang for your buck, can last you forever, ride it till the wheels fall off.
Totally agree.
You can't really go wrong. If there's any car experts out there, Odyssey or Sienna, you just let us know, but I think they really are both great options. Kia Carnival being texted in. My brother, my pilot brother, just got a new one for his wife, and they're liking it quite a bit. They're sleek. They look good. Mm-hmm. The minivan game has really leveled up in a big way, but you can never go wrong with Toyota and Honda. So salute to you, 501. 817 wants to know, Broadus, if you've ever been arrested.
I have. I had an alias ticket on me, and I didn't know that I had. And this was actually in your neck of the woods in Denton. I was with some guys. I was in a car.
You were bar crawling?
Yeah, where the guy got, we actually went and saw Memphis and North Texas play basketball. And so then we went to some of the bars afterwards while we're trying to go back home. Guys with got pulled over for DUI.
Oh, damn.
So your
DD was a boozer.
So yeah.
That's
so
tough.
So what they did was they checked. Well, this is before we had all these, you know, all those things. But anyway, they checked all our licenses, you know, so I gave mine to the police, and they're just like, Mr. Bross, you're going to jail too. So everybody in the car got put in jail. And mine was, and then my dad was going to leave me there. Like if it wasn't for one of my best friends, like his dad bailed me out.
Wow.
Like I call my mom and dad, and I'm like, hey, mom, can you put dad on the phone? And she's like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, dad, hey,
I'm in the slammer.
I'm in
pops.
Slammer for this ticket you said you were going to take care of. And he's like, oh, well, I'm sorry. I never got to it. Well, I'll see you tomorrow. So he was going to leave me in jail if it wasn't for one of my best friend's dad. I would still probably be in Denton jail.
That's hilarious, dude. Yeah, my dad always told me and my brothers, like, if you ever get put in jail,
you're staying overnight.
You're staying overnight at bare minimum.
Yeah.
You know, which is actually for the better, so he could maybe simmer down a little bit. Because if I just got put behind bars and then my dad came and bailed me out.
Yeah.
And he was just seeing red, that would actually potentially be worse than actually just being. Yeah. Sleeping there overnight. Let's see. Certified Mechanic says Toyota way better. Then another person in the 214 says Honda holds great resale value. I think they both do.
Yeah.
And then the 940 said the Toyota Sienna has more cup holders for whatever that's worth.
Okay.
So just we got some experts out there. All right, 877-881-1053. A little ask Broadus anything. Broadus, what is your favorite snack in the film room when you're just studying dudes left and right? Putting your scouting reports together, what are you snacking on, Brian Broadus?
Well, you know, it's funny. When I was in Green Bay, we had candy. So there was always candy dishes. And this is where I've kind of when we were with Jeff Cavanaugh and Kevin Turner and those guys were scouting with me, I've always had candy. I've always had relationships with people. Like I have a friend that worked with the Mars company, had another friend that worked with the Hershey company. So I'd always get like those, their candies, they'd send me like cases of it during draft season. So I always had a candy dish on my desk. And so I use popcorn. I like low salt, no butter. They would say light butter.
Wow.
But I'm not like the heavy, but
I'll take his butter then.
Yeah. I just like to snack on popcorn while I'm watching game film. Now you got to be careful because the grease on you don't want to get it on your controller,
on your clicker.
You don't want to get on the clicker. You don't want to mess your clicker up.
Yeah, that's hazardous.
You have to be careful. But I always had KT and Jeff always came in and ate the candy out of my candy dish when we were like the Reese's peanut butter cups.
Oh, it's on point.
All that stuff. Yeah.
214 brought us. We've heard you get into all sorts of fights with so many people. Myself, yep. Wolchuk, yep. Dawson, Baskey, mm-hmm. Mickey, Mike Fisher. Yep. Who on the station will be your next victim? You got your eye on anybody?
Wolchuk.
Doubling down?
Yeah. Oh, no, I've already fought.
You've already fought Wolchuk.
I've already fought Wolchuk. Fought Dawson. Don't want to fight. I'm not going to fight Lucius.
No.
Bobby, maybe?
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys have gotten into it on Love of the Star or whatever. But
yeah, Bobby and we haven't gotten into it like you and I got into where I stood up like during the break.
Yeah.
And it's like MFing you.
Really got after me.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, I think that Bobby might be the next one that I really have at, because Bobby will be on with me on the draft show coming up here when the season ends in a couple of weeks.
That's true.
So Bobby and I'll end up getting a fight.
I look forward to that. I really do. Okay, somebody wants to know if a player in this draft named Nick Nash is worth a flyer in the fourth round.
I haven't looked at it.
You're 55 dudes in. You got like the first two rounds of the draft.
I've got the first couple of rounds done. So yeah, but I promise you, right now I'm trying to like knock out, you know, two, three players a week. Then when the season's over, then it turns into full-on draft mode. So I'm sure that I will get into all the players that these folks are asking me about.
972 boxers or briefs or
boxers, yeah.
Okay, boxers. Boxers guy, yeah. Wow, a little bit baggy. You don't want to hug you too much.
I've always been that. Even it goes all the way back to college. So
favorite sandwich in the Metroplex. Maybe place to get a sandwich.
Okay, where's our place in Grapevine that we
Is it Weinstein's or something?
Weinburgers. Weinburgers in, I tell you what, I love Weinburgers.
You like that muffuletta, don't you?
Yeah, they do. They make a really good one there. They make a lot of, they do hot dogs over there, but they do all kinds of sandwiches. It's Weinburgers. It's right there on the main drag.
Main Street and Grapevine. Great area.
I brought sandwiches in before.
Yeah.
Like they have the
Mark Cuban sandwich.
All kinds of it. Trust me, it's worth driving over there. There's a little bit of a line, but they move pretty quick. So, be ready for that. But, man, they make outstanding sandwiches.
Chicken wings, flats, or drumsticks?
You know what? I'm a fan of the drumsticks myself. I just like the part with the bone part. I like that all. Like
a little cartilage?
I like that a little bit. Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
Agree to disagree. It's perfect, though, because we go to the wing place together. I give you my drums.
You do.
You give me your flats.
That's right. Yeah.
And
that works.
And we tear it up. 314 wants to know, as a scout on game day, what's usually your job? Are you on the sideline? Are you on the headset? Okay. Are you in a booth somewhere?
Yeah. I was involved in college scouting when I was in Green Bay my first 5 years. And then after I left, after I was at Philadelphia, I then got in pro personnel is what I got into. So then I was doing all kinds of pro. So usually during games, I would go be in advance. So there were a lot of times where I didn't get to see our team play. I was somewhere else watching another game, getting ready for the other week. But when I'm at home, I loved watching games from the field. The press box drives me nuts because you got to be quiet and you got it. You can't cheer and you can't get emotional. So I like watching the games from the field. I watched the last game I watched though from the field was the playoff game in Green Bay, the Dez catch game. It was the last time that I watched it. I was on the Cowboys sidelines. Down on one end, watching that game, and I missed it. It was the absolute best way to watch a football game, being down there in the middle of all that.
I love it. All right, 877-881-1053. Ask Broadus anything, and let's see here. We have if you were running things, who would be the next Cowboys head coach? That's in the 469.
That's a good question, because I feel like that there's a couple of different routes I would go here. I do like, of the guys that have a chance at this gig, I do like the idea of Mike Vrabel, but I need to know his offensive staff.
Would be the leader in your clubhouse.
The discipline, the toughness of the team, I think that if that's the direction that you can go, he's got a really, his teams are tough. He's had some well-built teams. You look at how they physically play. I think him being out, but he was working with the Browns. I don't know if that necessarily helped him in any way, but I really do like, now offensively, I don't know if I'm completely sold on Ben Johnson. I don't know if that one's going to be necessarily a good one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm trying to think of maybe some of these college coaches though too. But I promise you one thing though, Eric, and the texter, I am going to do an extensive deal. It's not, you mentioned,
cast a wide net.
I'm going to go wide on this. I'm not just going to sit there and say, okay, well, it's, if you want to put my feet to the fire. I think Mike Vrabel is one, the one I would like to talk to first.
Okay.
And then kind of go from there.
817 wants to know, throughout your time playing football, it's always frowned upon to have a football guy dating one of the cheerleaders. Did you ever venture into the cheerleader waters?
No, I never was. I was a good player in high school. And then in college, I was just a long snapper. So, no, I never, ever, ever, ever had an opportunity. That was always for, like, the skilled guys and stuff, not the long snapper or the center or the right tackle. You know, that was never going to be the case. So, but I had friends that were skilled players that their girlfriends were, like, golden girls, cheerleaders, that kind of stuff, yeah.
Okay, let's see here. We have Ask Broadus Anything here, 877-881-1053. Jambalaya or gumbo for the rest of your life?
Oof. I'm going to go with gumbo.
972, what's your favorite decade you ever lived in?
70s.
How old were you in the 70s?
I was.
It was like your high school years?
High school years, yeah. Yeah.
You were tearing it up, I bet.
I was having fun. I mean, like, I really had no real responsibilities. Just playing football, going to school, and all that. So I enjoyed the 70s.
817 wants to know if you if that V card got taken away from you in the 70s.
The V card.
Your V card.
What's the V card?
The virginity.
Oh.
Was that high school? Was that college? Was that?
It was.
Once you got the NFL status.
Early 80s.
Early 80s. I'm guessing college then.
Oh, it was because
lovely Cajun lady at LSU.
I was 82. I was 82, so it was before, it was like 80, 81, that era.
80, 81. Do you remember her name?
Yes. I'm not going to say it on
You don't right? have to say it.
Because
you don't
have she, to say because, it. Yeah, she listens to the show.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. That's a fun fact right there.
Yeah, I don't know. She might not be listening today. But,
oh, I'm sure she's listening. She's a big Tolo.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And I don't blame her. I don't blame her at all. Chris, you got any questions there? Anything you've always wanted to ask?
I'm just interested who you think is the most overrated quarterback in the NFL, and why is it not Dak Prescott?
Wow. Yeah, he hammered me with that one,
didn't he?
Most overrated quarterback in the National Football. You got a quick answer while I think about that one?
The most overrated quarterback in the NFL? It would probably be Jalen Hurts.
You think so?
I mean, I think the Dak stuff, I think, can get a little crazy sometimes with people propping him up.
Sure.
But Jalen Hurts is probably that guy. He's good. He's not great.
Tua?
Tua's another great one. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think Tua gets talked about in like those
stay in that division. How about Aaron Rodgers right now?
Aaron Rodgers, big time. Trevor Lawrence, perhaps, has kind of entered that realm. Let's see. We have the 972. Have you ever seen a game at Neyland Stadium?
I played. Yeah, I was in a game at Neyland Stadium.
You played there?
Yeah, I played there.
Okay. Craziest place you ever played from a hostile environment standpoint that you played in college?
Ohio State.
Now, oh, okay, at the Shoe?
Yeah, I never got to play at Georgia. Notre Dame was pretty crazy for a small crowd, but Tennessee, by the way, Tennessee is super loud. But Ohio State was we lost that game. We were up 10 with 2 minutes slow in the game and lost.
Wow.
They scored two touchdowns in the last 2 minutes of the game to first to lose.
That's a disaster.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, the texts are flowing in here, so we can keep this party rolling. Ask Broadus Anything here, 877-881-1053. And we have, with Walchuk out, no Chuck Wagon. Let's do a Schmuck Wagon next year in the nation.